Panty People. It is Panty Lines, your favorite podcast, a Funny Honeys production. I'm your host, Finetta Schofield, founder and CEO of Funny Honeys. We are hype about our episode today and about our guest. She is super duper dope. Hey, guest, how you doing?
Hey.
So today our guest is Tiffany Plater, and I wish I had those, like, the little DJ, boom, 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 because she got all these accolades.
Blah, 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 blah.
So, all right, so she went to Howard.
Blah, 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 blah.
Spellman. Yo, she is amazing and a guru in digital marketing. Head of L'Oreal.
Head of Garnier Innovation for hair care.
Okay. I got a little cliff notes on you, girl, because you are a dope queen. You're amazing. And she's also graced the cover of Essence this year. Pretty powerful, featuring all of these women and marketing executives in beauty. So I'm just super excited to have you for that. And because you went to school at Howard, I'm from North Carolina, so it's still kind of in the South. So I feel like we got a little connection. And we did connect because I hustle. I do comedy. I do Funny Honeys, but I also bartend at this really dope spot in Hudson Yards. So one day Tiffany came in, she had some rosé, and then we started talking. And a few hours later, we were just like, girl, we cool, we friends, we cousins. So it was great. And we've still stayed connected. And when I thought of this project for Panty Lines, I was like, man, beauty, dope. I want to do Panty Lines because I want it to be a symbol of something with Funny Honeys and what it means for feminism in our society. So someone that has like all this marketing experience in beauty, I was like, wow, we should talk about it. So,
thank you,
girl,
for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here.
Super excited to be here.
Oh,
I love panties, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine so. Yeah.
First of all, I have a big butt. So me and panties, we go way back.
Word.
I've always had a big butt. So panties can be difficult.
How is it difficult for you?
You know, because I'm not a thong girl. I'm really a panty girl. Like, I like for my booty to be covered. And my booty likes to eat panties. You know, like, if panties were food, my booty's, like, overweight. Like, it eats the panties. And so, for that reason, I'm always, like, on the hunt for the panty that doesn't give me the wedgie, right? Like, I'm always, like, stretching it this way, that way. I'm always talking to people about, they're like, girl, you got a big butt. What kind of panties you wear?
Yeah, for real.
You know, like, it's one of those things, like, you see somebody with nice hair, and you're like, wait, where do you get your hair done? It's like, where do you buy your panties?
Yes, like, what products do you use?
Yes, exactly. How did you get your curl like that?
Show me
like,
your ways.
Exactly. Like,
yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy you are here. Speaking of big butts, like, there's a lot of big booties out there. And I'm not a thong girl either. I'm a panty girl, like, all the way. What kind of panties, though, do you wear? Like, what's your normal style? I'm a cheeky. Like, I like the cheeky boy shorts. Because it does eat, your butt still eats them up a little bit. You still got to pull out the wedgie, but it's like a cute little wedgie. Like,
I'm a bikini panty girl. I don't like boy cuts. Like, I think also because I have hips. Like, boy cuts, like, cut off my circulation.
Mm.
Like, at the leg. I'm like, oh, my God, get this off. Like, I want to cut a slit on the side to, like, give me some relief. So
and that fast part, that thigh ass.
Yeah, nah, it's not for me. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. I like a panty brief. I basically want to be, like, in a bikini, but not, like, a teeny bikini. Like, I want to, not full coverage, you know, because when I take them off, I don't want to feel like I have them on granny panties. Like, when I take off my clothes, you know, for extracurricular activity or just my own self looking at myself, right? I want to look sexy, and I think full coverage isn't all that sexy. So I like a little brief. Like, show a little cheek to myself or to someone else.
Yeah, I feel that. As a woman in positions of power and have gone on that quest, have you felt that your panties, like, big girl panties, do you feel as though do you have a pair that, like, empowered you almost?
Yeah. I got a couple of pairs. And they're mainly lace.
Yeah.
But lace, like, the stretchy kind. Like, I need some elastic in that lace. It cannot be, like, a tight, you know, taut kind of lace. It's got to stretch. And one of my favorite pairs is, like, a pink lace pair. It's almost a bit neon. So it's like, I feel like I have a surprise. Like, you guys don't know what's going on underneath this right here, but I have a neon pink situation, and I'm presenting to, like, the CEO.
Yeah.
And it's not for him, but it's just like my own little surprise, like my own little secret. You know what I mean?
Yes. I know exactly what you mean. I love that. Like, it's like, you don't know what I'm packing. And I think I wear my sexiest panties when I have, like, my biggest days. Like, when I have the biggest things that is going on. Especially because, like, I just really enjoy the fact that, like, you literally don't see. You know, you don't see me. You see me, but you don't see me. You don't know what I got.
Right.
But it's funny because when I'm about to get some, especially after being, like, you know, any kind of extracurricular. But when I'm, like, been doing the extracurricular for a while, I don't be getting cute for that. Like, you've seen this.
Oh, yeah. No. Actually, I don't wear them after it's been extracurricular for a while. It's like, there is no point because he is not concerned. And he wasn't concerned the first time, but he's definitely not concerned. So then it's like, why even waste a panty? Like, I'm not wasting a panty. I'm just not going to wear them.
Girl, do you know, I was in the gym the other day, and, like, I was in the locker room, and I'm taking off my, like, work pants. I'm going to the shower, and I'm just like, girl, I gotta find, like, I was like, I gotta go panty shopping, or I gotta find some different panties. I was like, don't y'all hate having to take off your panties and wash? And then this girl, she's like, oh, I don't wear panties when I work out.
I had the same, someone just told me that. So
what?
I was really shocked, and I was like, but what about, like, all the juices? And
the where did the juices, like, go? I'm like, girl, somebody gotta catch all this.
Yeah.
Somebody gotta catch this.
And you sitting on stuff, and I'm sitting on stuff behind you. This is why you have to wipe down the machines. Always. Those wipes are not a suggestion. Those wipes are a requirement. Wipe down that machine.
That is a fact. That is a fact. But you know something is funny in the history of panties? Like, back in the day, like 3000 BC, men could wear panties, or men wore pants.
Yes.
But women could not put nothing over top of our vagina.
What?
We were not allowed to wear
panties. We were just dangling?
We was just dangling. Juices was just flowing. Sis, it was a sis in Egypt who was like, yo, I'm tired of this. I'm covering up this cat.
Listen.
And that's just how it was. Somebody was just like, I'm fed up. But no man said at one point, was like, you know what? I think you should cover up this pussy. It's real good. I just want you to, like, I don't want nobody else to see it, smell it.
You know, for easy access? Like,
I just feel like, you know, a lot of things, women have had to be innovative and take care of ourselves.
And then what about that time of the month?
Honey, that's what I'm saying.
Where was that going?
Oh, my God.
So things were just sliding down your leg? Like,
Well, they were like old school, like clothy kind of like tampons and things that women would just be wrapped in and clothed and just washed.
But you can't even wear panties?
But they could not wear panties. And that's so crazy that, like, it... So, okay, yeah. So then, you know, I guess 1700s around that time is when, like, we started to, like, Victorian era was when we started to wear them. But even then, it was, like, a class system. So.
You mean to tell me that I had to be part of the elite in order to wear panties?
Yes. And the bigger your bloomers, the bigger your class, like, the class level.
Oh, so I'm rich.
So your bikinis would have been like, yo, I'm popping. And, like, the peasants were like the thongs. Yeah.
I knew my inner rich bitch was like, yeah. I'm supposed to be wearing panties.
Facts.
Not thongs. Thank you.
Yeah. I just think that's so crazy. And so, again, that's what I like about panties. But I just think, like, historically speaking, it's just really crazy how we've had to take care of ourselves and do certain things. So I do like that we have all of these options for different styles and stuff. So I'm trying to just, like, I was shopping the other day. I was like, you know what? I'm going to just do this for, like, the ancestors. Like, I'm going to just buy.
Yes, panty girl.
Because I'm not even a thong type girl, but I'm going to just buy this because now we have choices and we have options.
Now, I will say that I don't mind a G-string. So, like, it has to be a very thin line going between the crack of my ass if I'm going to put something in there. A thong is just too wide. It's just, I don't understand. Why do I want to feel like I have a wedgie all day on purpose?
I do agree with that, but damn, I can never, that's something that I just have never considered.
G-string. Amazing. I had one on yesterday.
Really?
It was so good.
Did you have a big meeting or something?
No, it was the weekend. So
okay. Oh, you was just like,
I was out.
Oh, these cheeks is going to be out.
They got all the cheeks yesterday, child.
That is crazy. Okay, so about how many pair of panties do you think you own?
Ooh, I have panties like I have shoes, so I probably got a good 80 pairs of panties.
80 pair of panties.
I never run out of panties. That's how I know I have too many. And I have like a tradition. At the beginning of the year, I always buy new panties.
Wow.
I start my new year with pillows, sheets, and panties.
Wow.
I don't throw all the panties out, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm sifting through to like, okay, these got a little raggedy. It's time to throw these away. Okay, you know, and then you have like your period panties.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have like sexy time panties, and you got everyday panties, and you have like no panty line panties. You know, yeah. All the classifications of, do you have
she
that?
Got panties. No, I do not have
like,
that.
You don't have classifications.
I'm like, show me your ways.
Them. And I separate them in my drawer. Like, I group them like in the panty drawer.
Oh.
Like period panty section, thong/g-string panty section, everyday panty section. I even have workout panties too.
I just want to come and look at your panties. I don't have that. I'll be the first to say I'm a little bit more like, I think, masculine in like certain ways. Mm-hmm. Like, and that is one of them, because like I'm not that organized. Like, I just throw them all in one drawer. And like, you are inducted into the period panties, like it's just like either the pair I'm tired of or something like that, but it's not like a, oh, these are period panties.
Oh, no,
like,
they're period panties because they're black or navy blue.
Oh,
I only wear black or navy blue, because if you don't do it, then
yeah,
they end up looking raggedy, and
oh,
you're like, oh,
wow,
these stripes,
really good at
like
this.
Oh, this panty used to be pink, now it's kind of burgundy, like
yeah.
But it's pink the rest of it, but in the seat it's a little,
yeah.
You had to miss that.
Yeah.
I keep it black only or navy blue or burgundy. I have like one pair of burgundy period panties.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. You know, you're inspiring me, like, because for one, Funny Honey's colors are red and black. So
yeah.
I'm like, maybe I could just get me some like
yes.
Funny Honey's, like just red, all of them be red. But no, I induct certain pairs of panties into, and the panties that like start to get too big are the ones that like, cause I'll buy new ones,
mm-hmm.
but I think I would probably say I have 40 or less pair.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have that many. And I still keep the panties, cause I used to be over 200 pounds.
Oh.
So like, I still have those large panties.
Why? What are you holding on?
I don't know.
Just in case that happens again?
Girl,
throw those panties away.
I have no idea.
Because what, you don't have a second use for panties, right? It's like either you're wearing panties,
yeah,
or you're not wearing them. You're not like, you know what? I'm gonna use these panties now to dust. You don't have a second,
right.
Yeah. You're not like, I'm gonna wear these panties on my head like a scarf,
right?
You
right,
don't
right,
do that
right.
either,
yeah.
Because sometimes I wear like stockings as a scarf, you know, like when you want to get the edges tight.
Oh,
and you tie,
oh, for real,
right?
I saw a little tutorial about that the other day. I was like, he's using a stocking cap. I should.
Yes.
But I didn't know that.
But this is old school hack.
I
like,
had
this is
no
what
idea.
My mom used to do to me. I used to wear her stockings to bed as like my head scarf thingy. So
yeah.
There's a second use for when you get runs in your stockings. But there's no second use for panties.
True. Very true. I should just throw them away. Maybe I'm like a hoarder and I didn't, like, I haven't thought
about
it.
I mean, if
you
want to just keep one to try on and make sure you don't go back, you're like, you know what, this is like my guide for weight.
Yeah.
Like, you just keep one and be like, you know what, these are starting to fit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But
I'll probably do that.
Throw those things away.
Yeah, I got to throw them away.
Just taking up space.
I know.
Because, you know, the reason why I also separate my panties is because panties, like, when you're looking for a specific kind, you got to go rummaging through the drawer, right, to find it. It's not an easy find, like, a white t-shirt in your t-shirt drawer.
This is true.
They're all, like,
yeah,
balled up, and, you know, I don't know who folds panties. I don't.
I don't.
Just throw those in
okay,
there, right?
Okay, cool. I don't know. 80 pair, I would have thought you would fold them.
No, they're just grouped.
They're organized.
They are not folded, though.
Word.
So you won't be excited if you came and saw the drawer. You'd be like, this looks like a mess.
Yeah.
But it's a mess that I know that's organized.
That is organized. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
80 pair. That's crazy. Okay, so do you remember, like, do you have a significant other? Like
no.
Okay, cool. We got to get you a man, because you got to see all these panties, girl.
I'm seeing them for myself.
No, but as a boss lady, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is kind of into it, but like dating, is it harder for you as a boss woman?
I think it's more so like time and energy. Like when I'm getting off work, I'm tired. I like can barely keep my eyes open long enough to like watch a TV show. So I'm asleep by like 9:30. So it's a struggle to find the energy to go on a date after work.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I just want to get home and, like, be a bit mindless.
Yeah.
Because I've been thinking, you know, all day.
Yeah.
And, you know, really using my brain power all day. And I don't really like online dating. That's not... I try, but I've been catfish, fat fish, stinky fished, age fished, all the... Yeah, like...
All
it
of
hasn't
it.
Worked.
All of it.
But I mean, just because it happened once and twice and three, four times doesn't mean that, you know, the fifth time could be the one. It's just, I've kind of lost the zest for it. It's not. Mm-mm.
I mean, I feel that. I think as a woman, well, for me, like, it is about the time and the energy that I can devote to, like, dating. And, like, as trying to establish myself, I feel like I'm in this gray area of, like, the partner that I would want to be with is maybe already probably settled or stable, or the one that I would be with now is probably still too focused on establishing themselves now to really have that kind of connection, which is why it bothers me so much with men, because I think that it's easier for men to kind of like date and grind and do all of that or whatever. It's so, like, it's easier for them, which brings me to this, like, really funny story that I was reading about. So the parachute, right, was invented by this man, and of course, but the inspiration behind it was he was cheating on his wife, and this was like a French some shit, like 1700s, cheating on his wife, the mistress is there, wife comes home, the mistress jumps out of the window with her bloomers on, and she wraps her bloomers around her head, and like arrives safely on her feet, lands on her feet.
What?
And he invented the parachute.
Because of panties.
Because of panties.
Wow.
Because of a woman.
Yeah, because of a woman.
Let's... Like, because of a woman. So, like, yeah, I mean, she was scheming. She was a scheming ass woman.
Wow.
But it's just crazy. I find that... Yeah, I was, like, blown away. Cause it's
so,
like,
these are some big panties.
Big-ass panties.
So that means she was very rich. I hope he was just as rich.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I
hope she was cheating up.
Right?
Not cheating down.
God. Shout out to the people who cheat down. Jesus. Dummies. Who does that? God. I don't know. Yeah, it's just very funny. So, yeah, over the course of... time, I just feel as though, like, I appreciate women stepping up and doing certain things for themselves. It's also funny, like, the first vibrator was created for, like, medicinal purposes and shit.
Like, for, like, blood circulation or something?
No, well, okay, so we have never been, like, prioritized in our, like, sexual satisfaction.
Yes,
so, back in the day, men weren't really making sure the women were, like, coming when they were having sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, they said their wives had hysteria, which was this pretty much depression and sickness and all these things that were happening because they weren't ejaculating, and there's like all these health things that were going on with sex. So they would send the wives to the doctor, who would manually stimulate them and play with their clit.
Oh, that's a hell of a job.
Yeah. And the doctors were getting carpal tunnel.
Were they really doctors?
I don't know.
I need to know.
Like,
I don't think you
gotta
go to medical school for that, bruh.
Yeah.
I don't know about it. I need to see some degrees.
They probably had, like, a, you know, clitoris degree.
Yeah, and I also want to know, what was school like to get that degree?
Right?
Like, really?
I mean, they probably had, a contest or something. Like,
I mean, and then I also want to understand, like, you go to this doctor because he has this specific technique? Like, he goes up and down versus, like, in a circle?
Ooh.
You know, like, I need to understand.
I need that left to right doctor. You ain't got that left to right doctor?
Oh, no.
You not here today?
I only like it in a circle. I'm good. I'll wait till you got some availability.
Yes, girl. That's so crazy. So, yeah, Hamilton Beach made the first vibrator.
The people that make blenders? Oh, hey.
That's what it looked like. It looked like an egg beater. And they would put it up on it. Yes.
What?
Yes. So it's crazy because women were in relationships and still not being pleased, still not, you know, and that's how the first vibrator came about. So, yeah. And that, But that's probably because panties weren't sexy. That's probably because bloomers were so big.
No, but it ain't about the bloomers. It's about what's in them.
Right?
Okay? You shouldn't be worried about what I got on. You should be worried about how you going to get in.
That's great. Because that was perfect. Because I'm actually going to ask you, since it's called Panty Lines, a podcast, I wanted to know, what are some lines that have successfully or not successfully, what are some notable panty lines that people try to say to get into your panties? Like, what's a line that just, you know, because you know sometimes people hit you with lines. I respect game. So, like, if your game's whack, your game's whack. Like, you whack. But if you, even if I'm not really feeling you, I'll give you a point for the game.
Yeah.
Like, just because your game was dope, like...
I don't think anybody's like, I would say probably my first experience, it really wasn't a line. It was more like, I was scared, right? He didn't know that I was a virgin. Like, I'd never told him. And he said one line to me and was like, I promise it won't hurt. That bloop was me dropping my panties, by the way, guys.
He hit you with that. Oh, gosh.
And I was like, oh.
Okay.
And I don't even know why. I mean, I liked him. I loved him. So
yeah.
Still have love for him today. But I don't know why it was that line. I was like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. Maybe.
But nobody else has succeeded thus far. There has not been a line that has gotten me. It's been me that's been like, you know what? Today,
okay,
he's going to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. I love that. And I love that we have that power. Like, hey, I choose.
Yeah.
You don't choose,
yeah,
right?
No, like, there's nothing that you could say or even do. Like, you could be kissing me all the ways I want to be kissed.
Yeah.
And if I don't want to do it, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Because I usually go in with the mindset, like, I'm going to do it. Now, I've been caught up a couple of times where I was like, I did not mean to do that. That he was not supposed to get the draws. Like, I don't even know.
Got the draws, like, dog.
Got the draws, dog.
That was almost
the
name.
That's one of the best episodes of Martin of all time.
That was almost the name of the podcast. Got the draws.
Can you name that episode? This episode, Got the draws, dog.
Yes, I'm with it. Got the draws, dog. Yes. Yo, because that's how it is. And men, yo, it's crazy. Because, like, even when they really look at the whole getting in the panties, it's like a huge thing, man. Even if they don't even do nothing, they just want to hear the story. They want to. It's something about it. They just have to acquire us. Like,
yes, a guy, I don't know what I would call him, a friend, homie, whatever. He just literally today was texting me and was like, yeah, you know, I average like 3 weeks to get the draws. And I said, oh, 3 weeks. I was like, so that's your panty rate. It's your panty drop rate.
Wow.
And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, but why do you want me to know that, though?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me that?
And so he's trying to get into your draws, too?
He got them a long time
ago. Okay.
I don't know if he's trying to get them back.
I think he's trying to get them back.
I think he's confused on what he wants to do.
Oh, God. Yeah. I think it's just like a masculine, like, you know, yeah, so it don't even take me long to bag these chicks. Like,
I never questioned that it didn't.
Yeah.
He's tall. He's handsome. He's very smart. He has a good job. He's cool dude. Like, yeah, sure. Of course you get him within 3 weeks.
But getting mine, that's a different story.
Well, he already got him.
Oh.
He's grandfathered in.
Oh.
You know somebody's grandfathered in, like, you already gave him the draw. So it's like, you can always return when you want to or not, depending on, you know, who's single, who's not single. But he's grandfathered in.
Do you start them back over, though? Like, how long? I mean, not to be all up in it, has it been, like, 6 months to a year?
Yeah.
Oh, girl, that don't count. You don't start over like a...
Oh, do I start over my number? Oh, yeah, I keep the numbers based on the year.
Yeah. It's kind of like credit. Like...
Yeah, exactly.
So, but even if we were intimate, like... My vagina's new. Like, she's upgraded. Like,
when I buy panties, sheets, and pillows.
Honey, do you know how many times I wash this thing? Like, look.
Listen, every time you have a period, you have a new vagina.
I'm just saying,
basically.
You know? And then you get your vagina steamed and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
put some vinegar in your bath water.
I mean, snap that pussy back. We lit.
Yes.
There's so many things
if
that we do.
If you're not putting three capfuls of vinegar, white vinegar, in your bath water. I don't know who raised you.
Who raised you?
Because my mother told me that way before Mike Epps told me that. Yes. That that's what she's supposed to do.
Yes.
When she first found out I was having sex, she was like, now let me tell you something. Okay? What you need to do after every time you have sex is take a bath, put 3 capfuls of vinegar. And not only after you've had sex, but after your cycle, when you feeling a little, you know?
Yeah.
Always do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically every time I take a bath, there will be 3 capfuls of white vinegar.
Yeah, because your mama raised you right.
She raised me right.
She raised you right. Shout out to mama.
Shout out to mama.
Shout out to mama. Yeah, so it's crazy because I really be having to start that over. Like, I don't like, especially because I think that I develop too, you know, so like I develop mentally, my body, everything. So
yeah,
I think old boy is just trying to, you know, put that 3 weeks out there again.
I don't know
what
he's trying to do.
He might be really just trying to see what's up, you know, and then just like, because they always say something to see what your response is gonna be, you know.
And my response was, why are you telling me this? Why do you want me to know this?
Yeah, he wants you to know this because he wants to be like, yeah, he wants to be like, well, you know what? You already got me. It'll take you longer to get me. You know, he wants the challenge.
I don't know. And I told him, I don't know if I'm signing up for it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
That's good.
I need more data points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, plus, like, we get better, but they still say the same. I mean, yeah, sorry. I don't want to be, like, the thing is, I'm a very positive person, so I don't like talking shit about men, but they really are, like, kind of stagnant beings. You know, like, they really, like, women, we progress more, and just we are more advanced.
Yeah, maybe more flexible.
Yeah.
Too, right?
I just think that, I know that we're all creatures of habit, but what I've noticed more about just, like, my male counterparts is that they just get set in their ways, and then they just have this little rotation, and especially when it comes to dating and women, I would think. And I don't know, part of it, I think I'm just mad because men do have that, like, easy, you know.
Well, I mean, I like him. I think he's cool. I don't mind going back. You know, it's not like he was a true ex. You know, exes, I really try to leave them in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, for real, do not go back. It doesn't mean I haven't, but it's really something that I try not to do. I try not to revisit that. But somebody that, like, it was just, like, a quick thing.
Yeah.
Or we never really, like, gave it a real chance. Nothing, like, really, for real, like, popped off.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm down to, like, revisit that.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, you keep those numbers to a minimum.
Yes, so. Yes. Recycle them, girl.
If he's grandfathered in, why not recycle?
Why not? I think you like him.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you like him a little bit. Because, I mean, I wasn't trying to be negative. He's like, because he's smart.
He's a very likable guy. And we've been cool for a very long time. So, aside from, like, the draws.
Yeah.
I like him, like, as a person, yeah.
That's good. And that's good to have those people around. Like, people like that, when I'm into it, someone, I do turn, like, because I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be like a little notch on your belt, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if I feel as though that could happen in any way, shape, or form, I will kind of, like, just kind of curve you. So you don't curve me.
Yeah, that's the takedown. You know, they try to take you down. Like,
yes. Yeah, and so... because I know that that's a habit for me, anyone that I really respect, like, especially mentally, I won't hook up with or whatever. But then they end up, like, starting seeing other chicks, and it's like, damn, I should have hooked up with you. Like, damn. So it's so many good dudes that I just, like, haven't messed around with, and I'm just waiting for him to, like, get out of those relationships that he got in after, you know, like, those things. Because it's always good. Timing is everything, though. Like,
timing
is everything with so many, with relationships, career, like,
yeah,
being in the right place at the right time.
Yes.
Like, it's so important.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But speaking of being in the right place at the right time, your biggest career move, because I do like that you're a marketer, and I know that TiffanyPlater.com, Plater, correct?
Yeah.
TiffanyPlater.com.
That's exactly what I say. Like a dinner plate. With an R, not a platter.
No.
No.
Nah, she's got the whole plate, right? TiffanyPlater.com. And you can see her experiences and certain things that have happened. I love that you had, like, the playlists on your website.
Yeah, because I'm a fake DJ.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And I was like, oh, you had the UGK. Yo,
yes,
I was like,
yes.
Yo, I wanted to play that today, like, opening company. I was like, ah. because that I love that song. But you also offer like marketing services to like smaller businesses and stuff. So like, what is one thing that I feel like one experience or like one encounter, one meeting that just like solidified that you were like a marketing guru or like, made you want it to be that? Or what is like one thing that happened for you?
So I, growing up, I wanted to be a hairstylist and I always like use my allowance money to buy hair care products, to buy curling irons, to buy a relaxer, to relax like my doll's hair. I had mannequin heads like in middle school. So it was a very serious thing for me. And I knew like from the age of 5 that I wanted to be a hairstylist. And my parents, as I got older, like got to probably middle school, maybe like 8th or 9th grade, I told, like, declared to them, like, okay, I really want to be a hairstylist. And they were like, no, sorry, you're going to go to college. And I was really disappointed. And I was thinking, like, do I listen to them? Is this up for negotiation? I don't think this is up for negotiation. And so I still, like, did my hair, my friend's hair, still had my mannequin heads that I would do from time to time. My cousin, who was my same age and year in high school, she ended up going to cosmetology school. So I would be, like, all in her stuff. I'd come over to her house and, like, look at what she was working on. And, like, I was slightly jealous. Like, man, I can't believe she has my life. Like, I'm supposed to be doing what she's doing. And I continued to do well in school. Like, I was a National Honor Society student.
Wow, shout out to you.
Yeah, so I didn't, like, let them telling me that to be like, well, I'm just going to not do anything. You know, I still was smart and wanted to do well in school. And probably around like senior year, I just like gave up the idea of being a hairstylist. Like I knew I had to go to college. And so then I was like, I don't know what I want to do. Maybe I want to be a doctor. Maybe I want to be a lawyer. Typical, you don't know what you want to do shit, right? Doctor, lawyer is always like the answer. And so I went to Spelman. And was just like an undecided major. And after like my first semester, I was like, I think I want to major in finance. And I really didn't have an idea of what finance was, to be like completely honest. It sounded good to me. Like I liked math. I was good at math. And business sounded like something that I wanted to do. Because if I wasn't playing hairstylist, I was also playing office by myself. Like my mom had her desk nameplate. I would put that on my like desk. I had a desk in my room. She had like, you know, like those carbon copy papers, like when you write on a receipt.
Oh, with
and
the
you
blue
had, like,
on the bottom.
White, the yellow, and then the orange. And so she had some, I don't remember what it was, but I would be writing orders for this imaginary business. And I would also charge my dolls too. Like when I would do their hair on Saturday, I would then charge them. I had like play money. And so those were my two interests. So it's like, I'm going to major in finance. And Spelman is a liberal arts college, so you can't. But you can like get into like the consortium and you can take classes at like Georgetown, Morehouse, blah, 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 blah. But you would have an economics degree. So my parents were like, well, actually, it would be great if you would move back home. We really miss you. And Spelman's expensive. And you know what? Why don't you apply to like Michigan State or U of M? And we'll buy you a car. We'll buy you a new car. We'll give you an allowance. And you can have your own apartment. I was like, that sounds like a damn good idea. You know what? Okay. All right. I'm going to come home. So I came home, applied to did my full year at Spelman, applied to Michigan State, got in. And that summer, I had never even been to Michigan State. I had never even been to Spelman before I got there. But I applied, got in, and then I went to visit. And I did not like it. And no one was even there. So there wasn't anything to dislike.
It was
just a vibe. But I was just like, I don't belong here.
Yeah.
And there was no one there for me to feel like I didn't fit in. But it was just something like my gut told me, no, this isn't it. So I came home and they were like, how was the visit? I was like, I don't like it. They were like, what do you mean? School isn't even in. I was like, it's not for me. I don't want to go there. I'm going to go back to Spelman. They were like, no, you can't because we already bought this car. And Spelman tuition plus car, not going to happen. So you're going. I was like, I'm not going. And I really didn't know what I was going to do. My dad's from D.C. My great uncle and my great aunt came to visit. I was like, oh, I know what, I'm going to go to Howard. It's June. Like, where? How do you think you're going to go to Howard in August and it's June? So happened that my aunt, her sister-in-law went to undergrad and law school with the president of Howard at the time, President Swigert.
Wow.
And one of her friends was dean of athletics. So I applied and I immediately got in. And I still had good grades. Like, I was still, like, you know, same National Honor Society.
And I mean, from
student.
Spelman, like,
right? Yeah. Why wouldn't you want me?
I mean, come on.
So, hello?
Hello.
And so the thing, I got into Howard, but the thing was they didn't have any on-campus housing. So guess who still got their own apartment?
Wow.
Guess who still had the car? Right?
Yo, you leveled up.
Yes, right? I finessed them.
You finessed like
right? I don't even know how to. But my parents were so happy for me to go to Howard because that meant that I was going to get closer to like my grandmother's side of the family, mm-hmm. who I would see like once a year maybe or every other year for like family reunions.
Yeah.
But me actually living in the place where my dad grew up.
I was about to say your dad, yeah.
Him. Yeah, so. And I got really close to my great aunt, my great uncle that helped me get into Howard. And I was like the best experience. And so it was there that gave me a good and like a really good insight into what it meant to work in business because they have a great business program. And they really train you, like they really raise you for the business world. But I majored in finance. And when I graduated, I was like, I don't want to do finance. So here I am again, like, doing something, like knowing like in my gut that I shouldn't be doing it. And I had accepted a position as a stockbroker. I was going to be a stockbroker. I was like, no, this isn't right. I can't do that. And all my friends were moving to New York because a lot of my friends at Howard were finance majors too. And all the banks were recruiting them to move to New York. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to move to New York because I want to keep the party going.
Mm-hmm.
Not because there was a job or anything like that. It was just like, my friends are going.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in Detroit. I don't want to stay in D.C. So I moved to New York July 29, 2005. I had $1,000, no job. And I applied, like, sent my resume off to, like, agencies, like employment agencies. And the first week that I was there, I got a call back to go to L'Oreal. And so I've been working at L'Oreal since 2005.
Wow.
Because of that. Mm-hmm.
That is
so within
dope.
A week, yes, I moved July 29th. I started at L'Oreal August 8th.
Girl.
Yeah.
You are lit.
It's crazy, right?
That is an amazing story. Especially because of things that, like, I like what you knew what would work for you.
Yeah.
I like that. And that's something I learned from Scandal. Because Olivia Pope always trusted her gut. You
that's
know?
True. You have to. Because the gut is like that internal compass.
Mm-hmm.
Your gut does not mislead you. And so all of my, like, life-changing moments have happened because of me listening to my gut. Because I listened to my gut that I shouldn't go to Michigan State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Howard changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, like, lifelong friends and sisters and just, like, me getting close to my dad's side of the family, who I wouldn't normally see, that really helped to change my life and influence me. It's, like, a decision that I could never regret. Like, the best things came out of me going to Howard, and the best things came out of me moving to New York because I listened to my gut that I should do that, even though it was, like, if you look at it, you know, you only have $1,000. You don't have a job.
Right.
Or a place to stay, by the way, because one of my friends, shout out to Tahira Thompson, for letting me, she was subleasing a room. She didn't even have an apartment. It was a room with a futon. And she let me stay in that room on that futon with her.
Wow. That's dope. Yeah, shout out to that.
Yeah.
Those are the people that are around you that help. Man,
yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's your tribe, though. That's dope.
For sure. Love
that's
her.
Super dope. And it's really important to have, you know, a tribe and have people that influence you. And that was like bringing me to like my last question, because I wanted to know panty lines, but I also wanted to like know who you would don as like a panty dropper. Like, and this is like a term, of course, you've had different, like, I know Trey Songz just comes to mind. This right here is a panty dropper. Yo, that was such a great song. Shout out to Trey Songz. But what I'm saying in the panty dropper is like a woman who is just like bad as shit, like at what she does, like super dope, and will just drop them draws and not care. You know what I mean? Like, and just doesn't really, you know, just someone who is just someone, a role model in the news, doesn't have to be whatever. But just like a panty dropping ass woman out here, just really shutting it down. Yeah, if you could,
I should have thought about that.
Oh no, you don't have to think about it,
because there's obvious panty droppers, right? Like Michelle Obama, Beyonce, definitely. Auntie Oprah, Auntie Gail, right? Those are obvious panty droppers. Who I know we would all agree, but I think my panty dropper would be my mom. My mom is so strong. She, like, my dad's sick right now. She's like nurse, dietitian, healer, prayer warrior.
My aunt
is also sick right now, and she's all those things too from my aunt. And I've just really watched her be just so incredibly strong through like some of the hardest times. And I think growing up, you never really give your mom the credit that she is due when you're younger.
Yeah.
Because, like, she gets on your nerves and you're like, ugh, can't stand her. And I don't like the way she dressed. And I wish she would, you know, like, daughters can be very hard on their moms. But I feel like I'm coming, like full circle in my age and, like, maturity to really recognize my mom and appreciate her for all the things that she's done in my, like, entire life. Not just now because I'm, like, mature, but my mother was, like, vegan before vegan was a thing. And I was so embarrassed by that. Like, we would go to the restaurants and my mom would be like, what's in this? I can't have that. And I would be like, oh, my God, why do we even go out? Like, this is so annoying. My mom used to, like, wear all these, like, elaborate braided styles that now we're wearing, right? She was always ahead of the time. And I would be so embarrassed. Like, don't pick me up, you know? Like, can you just stay in the car? Don't come into the school.
Mm-hmm.
She was always wore, like amazing, like, Afrocentric, like, garbs. And I was embarrassed by that. Like, but now these are all the things that we are embracing, you know, our African heritage through wardrobe and through hair. And my mom was those things back in the 90s, you know, the early 90s, when no one was really wearing braids. Everyone had a relaxed look. You wore braids because you went on vacation.
Yeah.
Not my mom. She wore braids like 365. So
she was Moesha. That's what
she was. Moesha. Did you know that was a wig, by the way, Charles?
Shut up, girl. Yes. The whole time.
Oh,
oh my God.
Somebody showed me a picture. Somebody showed me a picture. I was like, no.
I cannot.
You can see the little lace net. Like, yeah. So I don't know what's going on underneath.
Girl, I have been fooled.
How do you get that way to lay that flat?
I have been fooled.
That was before there was like all these techniques. Now I need to understand what was going on. So my mother is my panty dropper, and she raised me to put white vinegar in my bag.
Hey.
But that and that alone,
hey,
right? You know,
hey.
And she did nothing else. She taught me. No, my mom really is just an amazing person. Like I said, prayer warrior, healer, dietitian, nutritionist, has a degree in none of those things. Has a degree in accounting, but whatever.
But that's,
like,
amazing.
She's so dope.
She's so dope.
And a woman that also lives from her gut and her intuition and does what feels right in her gut, you know, the thing that she knows she should do. And so she's always taught me to do that. And so because of her, I have this life because I've been listening to my gut. So I thank her.
Yes, that is amazing. Well, shout out to Mama. Shout out to everybody. That is dope. And shout out to you. Anything that you have coming up, I've already mentioned your website and that you offer services. But if you have anything else that you want to, like, drop a line for,
I got some things that are brewing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have them set in stone yet, but expect to see me on some panels.
Ooh.
This year, talking about business, brands, entrepreneurship, marketing, beauty. Expect to see me on TV.
Ooh.
As well. Also, I'm just going to go ahead and say that this is my year, and expect to see me with a man.
Whoa.
Listen, in 2020, I'm going to be married. I'm putting it here.
Yes, it's and he going to love all your 80 panties. And he going to buy you 80 more, girl.
Yes, yes.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for being here with Panty Lines. I'm Vanetta Schofield, Tiffany Plater. This has been such an amazing episode. Y'all can catch us. Follow her, Tiffany Plater, on IG. Follow me, Vanetta Schofield. And make sure you follow in Funny Honeys, because if you're not, what are you doing? But yeah, we're so excited. Funny Honeys, empowerment through entertainment. Thank you for being entertained. Bye.
Bye.
My name is Vanetta Schofield, and I want to thank you for listening to Panty Lines, the podcast, a Funny Honeys production. Bye.